Okay, so this Supreme Court decision today, the indictment against the president alleged that the former president, after losing the 2020 election, Donald Trump conspired to overturn the results of the election by spreading knowingly false claims of election fraud to obstruct the collecting, the counting, and the certifying of the results. President then Trump moved to dismiss the indictment based on presidential immunity. The indictment's allegations, he said, his attorney said, fell within the core of his official duties. The district court denied Trump's notion to dismiss, holding that the former president does not possess federal criminal immunity for any acts. The D.C. Circuit Court affirmed that. Both the District Court and the D.C. Circuit Court, though, declined to decide whether the indicted conduct involved official acts or were private personal ones, if you will. And the way I'm reading this decision today, the Supreme Court is sending it back to the lower courts, and they are saying that you need to decide which it was, because it doesn't appear to me at first blush that it's blanket immunity, but only for those acts which are deemed official, if you will. Okay, let's get some expertise here. Joining us now is the founder of the Chicago Kent Institute for the Supreme Court, Carolyn Shapiro. Carolyn, welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you today?
I'm okay. Thanks for having me.
You just heard my layman's understanding of what went down. Tell me what I got right and wrong there.
Well, I would say there are three pieces to this, and I'll preface all of this by saying I personally find this to be a really quite shocking opinion. It really flies in the face of my understanding of one of our principal founding tenets, which is no person is above the law. But the court said that there is absolute immunity for certain acts that the president might take that are within what they called the conclusive and preclusive executive authority under the Constitution. But they interpret that fairly broadly, and they include in that any allegations, any conversations that he had with the Justice Department. They say he's absolutely immune from prosecution for those conversations. Then they distinguish between other official acts and unofficial acts. Unofficial acts, there's no immunity for, but official acts that aren't in this core conclusive and exclusive preclusive authority, he has what they call presumptive immunity. And they say that the government may be able to proceed with prosecution for those acts if it can show that there is no dangers of intrusion on the authority and functions of the executive branch. They provide virtually no guidance as to what that means. Justice Sotomayor, in her dissent, joined by Justice Kagan and Justice Jackson, says it's hard to imagine a prosecution that would have no danger. And if that's the measure, then there will be very few prosecutions at all. But what the court then did is to send other than the allegations related to the former president's conversations with the Justice Department, this court sent the rest of the indictment back to the district court and said to the trial court and said that the trial court now has to determine which acts were unofficial, which acts were official, things like tweets, speeches on the ellipse, stuff like that. Was that official or unofficial? And then within the category of official acts, can the government overcome this presumptive immunity? All of that will then go through another round of appeal. So if we will not see a trial, if we ever see a trial, for probably a year or two, what we may see, though, before the election is Jack Smith's attempt to put forth all of the evidence to show why certain acts were unofficial and also to show why even official acts should not be given this presumption of immunity.
I'm trying to score what happened in the ellipse on January 6th. was that, because he was still the sitting president at that time, was that him trying to preserve the union and keep the election from being stolen? That would be maybe an official act of the president. You would want him to do that. Or was that a guy just, you know, defying the will of the people for his own personal gain? Does it come down to that?
It does. And part of what is actually confusing about this is that the court says that the president's motive is not relevant to determining if it's official or unofficial. But then, as you describe, it's hard to characterize what was happening without looking to the motive. They don't decide whether any particular act is official or unofficial. And
well, how else would you know? But I mean, how else would you know? The president is always the president when he's president. So conceivably, anything would be in the guise of officialdom, if you will. But certainly, the president must be prosecuted for things that would otherwise be criminal and don't serve the country in any way at all. If he beat somebody up, if he robbed a bank, those wouldn't be official acts, right?
Probably not. But if the president said, well, I was beating somebody up in an effort to enforce federal law.
Yeah, okay.
Become an official act?
Okay, but then, boy, this may just be the way you define people's interpretation of what happened on January 6th, you know, were those tourists or not. But I mean, it does seem to me that what happened on January 6th, that Donald Trump's instigation was something that attempted to overturn the official acts of government, the exchange of power, that's an abuse of his official power, but it's for personal gain.
I could not agree with you more. I'm certainly not defending this opinion. I find this opinion is shocking. It's quite broad. And it does something that has never been done before, that they couldn't come out and say some of these acts are so clearly not official acts is really appalling. And I note that this was a 6-3 decision, except on one point, which Justice Barrett didn't join. But those six justices include Justice Thomas and Justice Alito. Justice Thomas, wife was actually at the Ellipse, was involved in efforts to overthrow the election, although I don't believe she stormed the Capitol. And Justice Alito, it's recently come out that that above his house was flown the upside down American flag, which is was one of the symbols of the insurrection. So there's enormous problems with this opinion, both in its substance, but also simply in the fact that two justices who I think are tied in some way, not themselves, but through their spouses, to the actual events of January 6th.
In my world, it would have been a 4-3 decision. So do you have a sense of, this is my last question, and then we have to go. I wonder what the lower court will do then. Are they going to determine this thing you and I are talking about? Was that an official act or a personal act?
Yes. It will go back to Judge Chutkan in the District of Columbia, and she will have the first pass at figuring that out. And that does give Jack Smith, the special prosecutor, the opportunity to lay out what happened in a very public way before the election, which I do think is one positive coming out of this otherwise remarkably shocking opinion. So that's what will happen next, and then we'll see. The former president will undoubtedly appeal to the Court of Appeals, the D.C. Circuit, and then, assuming that he's not satisfied with some or all of the result of that appeal, he will then take it back to the Supreme Court, which I assume will take it again.
The founder and co-director of the Chicago Kent Institute of the Supreme Court of the United States is Carolyn Shapiro. Carolyn, 5 minutes of conversation with you have been very helpful. I appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having me.